Welcome to Parshas HaShavua. This week's Parsha is Parshas Dvarim, the beginning of the new book, the fifth Sefer, the fifth book of the Chumash. The fifth book of the Chumash, a little bit different to the first four. It's called Mishneh Torah. The Gemara says that, of course, it was all from Hashem and all but Ruach HaKodesh, but it was more Moshe Rabbeinu sort of speaking from his own, or it was him speaking rather than just passing on Hashem's word, although of course it's Hashem's word as well, which is a whole other discussion how to understand those both things together. But we'll leave that for now. Parshas Sefer Dvarim essentially starts on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and it goes for like 37 days until Moshe Rabbeinu passes away on the 7th of Adar. And it's said to the generation that's about to go into Eretz Yisrael with a new experience of going into the mundane and physical world of agriculture and earning a living, different to the Midbar, where they were spiritually and physically protected for 40 years. And Moshe Rabbeinu is prepping and giving them a pep talk, so to speak, to alert them to be careful, to be prepared, to be committed to the Torah and mitzvahs. The Sefer repeats many of the mitzvahs that were said before. That's why it's called Mishneh Torah, and also introduces to us some of the mitzvahs for the first time. And it's an action-packed book. But the Sefer Dvarim begins with Eile HaDvarim. These are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Bnei Yisrael, Be'ever HaYarden, on the other side of the Jordan River. And then it lists a whole bunch of places: Bamidbar, Arava, Melsuk, Paron, Toifel, Lavon, Chatzeirois, and Dizov. As Rashi says, some of these places don't actually even exist, but they were all a means of reprimanding the Jewish people for all the sins they did during the time they were in the desert, from the time they came out of Egypt. Done in a very subtle and code form, as Rashi says, to preserve the dignity of the Jewish people. So I want to just share, first of all, a cute little idea that is brought down in my Yonah Shel Torah, a sort of a twist on how the Pesukim play out here. And we find that the last two places mentioned in the Pasuk is Chatzeirois and Dizahov. Now, Chatzeirois is a hint to what happened with Korach, and Korach led the rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu with all his men. And Dizahav, which means gold, is a reference to the Egel Hazor, to the golden calf which the Jews served in the desert when they came out of Egypt. And the question is asked that the order seems to be incorrect. This is brought down in the name of the Shnei HaMa'oirois, that we know that the Egel Hazov took place pretty soon after they came out of Egypt, and the story with Korach was much, much later. So why does it say in the Pasuk, Chatzeirois and then Dizov? Surely it should have said Dizov and then Chatzeirois. So he gives a very interesting pshat. It goes like this. There's a medrash that says that when the Yidden served the Egel Hazov, they served the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu advocated on behalf of the Jewish people. And in their defense, says the Medrash, he said to Hashem something very novel. He said, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, you said at Har Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. Which is the mitzvah of Emunah, followed by the prohibition of idol worship. But said Moshe Rabbeinu, he said it in the singular, Elokecha, not Elokechem. You said it in the singular form, as if you were just talking to me. So therefore, it could be said that you actually meant only me. You didn't actually obligate the rest of the nation in his mitzvahs. And therefore, the fact that they served idol worship with the Egel Azov, maybe they can't really be held accountable. It's not really binding because, after all, the mitzvah was said to me and not to them in the singular form. That's a defense, perhaps, a potential defense, as strange as it might seem, but it's a defense, according to the Medrash, that Moshe Rabbeinu used. Comes along the story of Korach. Korach, we know, challenges the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Korach famously said, Ki kol ha'el eido kulam kedoshim. Everyone is holy. Everyone is equal. Equally holy. So why do we need leadership? Why do we need Moshe Rabbeinu? Why do we need Aaron HaKohen to be special? And according to Chazal, he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kulam shomu mipi agvura honoichi Hashem alikecha. We all heard from Hashem, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the giving of the Torah, the proclamation from Hashem himself in the first two commandments was said to every Jew equally.
So therefore we said we're equal. We're all equal. We all receive the Torah equally. So why is there special need for leadership, special leadership, someone who holds himself higher than the nation? So as soon as Korach said that, the defense of the Egel HaZov went away. Because Korach acknowledged and he confirmed that in fact Anochi Hashem Elokecha was said to every single Jew. True, it was said in the singular, which needs to be understood why, but nevertheless it was said to every single individual. And therefore, as soon as he said that, the defense of the Egel HaZov disappeared. That's why over here in this pasuk, it says Chatzeros, when Moshe Rabbeinu reprimanded them. It says Chatzeros first, the story of Korach first, and then only he brings into the reprimand the Egel HaZov, because it was the story of Korach that gave rise, that gave room for the reprimand of the Egel HaZov. Okay, that's just a little nice pshat on the first pasuk. Let's go back to this idea that it was said in code form. First, we talk about this because the truth is that later on in Devarim, later on in the Parsha, and in Devarim in general, Moshe Rabbeinu actually details some of these stories much more specifically. But nevertheless, it begins in code form. And the question is why. So we'll come back to the Rashi in a moment, but I think it's the Chidushi Harim and some of the Mefarshim ask a different question. Who was Moshe Rabbeinu reprimanding? He was reprimanding the generation that was about to go into Eretz Yisrael. Let's understand the following. The Gemara in Tanya says that already Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, before that, months before Rosh Chodesh Shvat, the last ones who were guilty of the sin of the Meraglim of the spies had passed away. This was a fresh generation, a new generation about to go into Eretz Yisrael. They were not punished for the sins of Meraglim. They were not guilty for the sins of the Meraglim. And they're the ones about to go into Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu was reprimanding them for all the Averas that the Bnei Yisrael did in the Midbar. But they didn't do those Averas. They had nothing to do. They were a pure nation. They had nothing to do with those failings. They had nothing to do with Korach, nothing to do with Egel HaZov, nothing to do with the other stuff, the complaining of the man. All this stuff was not them. It was the previous generation, so to speak. They didn't do the Egel HaZov. They didn't do the Meraglim. So the Chiddush HaRim explains the following. He says, this is why Moshe Rabbeinu speaks in code form. He said like this. He said, you're a nation about to go into Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is going to bring a new set of spiritual challenges. The involvement with the mundane world, the involvement with the physical experience of earning a living. You might think, and you might be overconfident to think that you are a pure nation. You're a pure generation. You will not succumb to the challenges that will happen. You don't have that same Yetzirah. You didn't do many of these things that I'm reprimanding you for. Therefore, you think you're spiritually strong, you're spiritually protected, you're spiritually insular, and therefore you'll be fine. Said Moshe Rabbeinu, you need to know that it's not the case. Because although you didn't do any of these averus, you didn't do any of these sins, you're affected by these sins. The fact that your parents did it affects you. It leaves an impression, it leaves a roshan. A little bit of those averus you have too. Just like we know that we still suffer from the first avera of Adam and Chava, we still suffer from the Egel HaZov. But in that generation, they were the direct children of those people who had done. Therefore, when a person does something wrong, they affect their children. They affect the next generation. And therefore, he said it in code form, as if to say, I know you didn't actually do the whole sin, but a little bit. And that's why I'm saying it in a hinting way. Because a little bit you are part of it. A little bit you're affected by it. And therefore, you need to know to be careful. You need to know to protect yourself. You need to engage in things that will make a tikkun, that will rectify and bring completion and bring healing from those averus. Because you are affected. Don't think you're not affected. You are affected. And that's why I said it in hint form. Now Rashi, of course, says that the reason that it was done in code form is because, quoting the words of Rashi, his zekiron beremez, he mentioned it in very, very sort of hinting way, mipnei kvoidon shel Yisrael, because of the dignity and the honor and the respect of the Jewish people. On a simple level, all Rashi is saying is that he wanted to preserve their dignity, didn't want to embarrass them too much, and therefore he did it in code form. There's something very deep here in Rashi as well. And that is, just to preface, Sefer Dvarim is always the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. We are entering the 9 days. We are in the middle of the 9 days. We are in a period where we remember the Golus. We feel the pain of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and the Golus. We are trying to strengthen our Emunah in Bias HaMashiach and the building of the Beis Hamikdash. And we know that one of the connections of Devarim to Tisha B'Av is that Devarim has the word Eicha in a few psukim time. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Eicha Esa Levadi, how can I carry alone your burdensome, your quarrels, and so on. The Medrash tells us that there are three Eichas. There's the Eicha that Moshe Rabbeinu says, there's the Eicha that Yeshayo HaNovi says, which we'll read in the Haftorah of Chazoin this coming Shabbos. And then there's the Haftorah of Yirmiyahu, the Megillah we read in Eicha. He says, Eicha Yoshva Bodod. How could it be that the city of Yerushalayim stands alone? So, what is the connection with all of this? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe explained once when he was talking about this Rashi. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu talks about the things they did wrong. Things that did wrong ultimately led to a decline, a spiritual decline, which ultimately led to the Churban. The one Eicha, the first Eicha led to the second Eicha led to the third Eicha. They're all connected, and ultimately it's all got to do with how the Yidden declined and ultimately landed up in Golus. However, what we always need to understand is that it said here in code form, Mikveh Kvoidon Shel Yisrael. Hashem emphasizes in the reprimand, Moshe Rabbeinu is reprimanding the Jewish people. He's really hinting to the whole Golus and the pain and the suffering that comes from the things they did wrong and so on, but he nevertheless does it in a way which highlights Kvoidon Shel Yisrael. Highlights the honor, the dignity, the respect of the Jewish people. To really hint to something very deep, and that is to understand that all of the golus, all of the pain, all of the descent, the spiritual descent and decline, is all really to lead to a greatness within the Jewish people. Overcoming the golus, doing tshuva, eventually meriting to the third Beis HaMikdash, it'll be a Geula which will be much, much greater than any other Beis HaMikdash that was there before, and it'll be much higher than we started off before we failed. Ultimately, everything is going to lead to Kvoidon Shel Yisrael, the dignity of the Jewish people. And we see this even in the Pesukim itself, and he highlights the one Pasuk got to do with Eicha, the first Pasuk of the Megillah Eicha. And the Megillah says, obviously, the Pasuk is talking about the Golus, the bitter Golus. Eicha, Yoshva, Badod. How could it be that the Yidden stand alone? And I think what we're going through now, we relate to this in such a big way. We are alone. The Jewish nation are alone. We're isolated. We're abandoned by the nations of the world. A negative thing, a thing that really points to a very deep and strong Golus. But yet, really what it does is, it highlights the depth of that Klal Yisrael. The idea of Yoshev Bodo standing alone really has to do also what Bilam said in his brachas, Am Levodod Yishkan. We actually are alone, intrinsically alone, in a good way. We're transcendent. We belong to a different category. We are committed to a higher set of principles and values. We are detached. We are not mixed in. We have a special and unique mission. We have a uniqueness about us that comes with a tremendous responsibility, but nevertheless, it's a great uniqueness, and it's a great power, and it's the Bechira, it's the choosing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Am Yisrael. So therefore, Eicha Yoshvat Bodod, the very Pasuk that talks about the isolation of the Jewish people is also hinting to Kvoidon Shel Yisrael, the dignity of the Jewish people, the greatness of the Jewish people, that we are in fact, yes, Bodod. As some of the Farshim explained, the word Eicha can mean alas, but it also means wonderment. How? Wow, it's amazing. Amazement. So yes, Tisha B'Av is a day that on the surface is the Golus. On the surface it highlights the terrible Golus, but in a deeper way, it is all directed, it's all expressing, and it's all a process to manifest and to bring out and ultimately to reveal the uniqueness and the greatness of Am Yisrael. So let's, hopefully that this year, Mirz Hashem, will be Zoicha to the coming of Mashiach, and will be the time where Tisha B'Av will be turned into a day of great simcha and celebration. B'mheira b'yomeinu. Have a good day and a good Shabbos.